wood-paneled corridor, open on one side to the view. Lucian the librarian, towering over Morpheus, hands him a faded old map. It shows an archipelago, a multitude of tiny green and brown islands surrounded by blue sea.
Thank you.
Sir.
It comes back to me now, Lucian. But it was a very long time ago. I had thought the Skerry long since crumbled, the compact forgotten and void. I was in error. Ah well, we must wait and see how things fall.
Indeed, sir. I'll be in the library if you need me.
Of course.
Excuse me, sir. You may not remember me. My name is Nuala. I was a fairy gift. Nuala?
Morpheus turns to look at the nervous, waif-like little figure.
Yes. Right. Well, I was told to watch the dreams of the mortal woman, Barbie, and not do anything. Well, I did something. When she first started to dream, I sort of tried to sort of warn her that there was bad stuff going down. I couldn't just stand by and not do anything, and I thought I should tell you. I'm sorry.
I see. Thank you for telling me, Nuala. That will be all.
Nuala, you did the right thing. I'm pleased with you.
Yes.
Far off, in the land, Barbie awakes from sleep in a dry, grassy ditch. Wilkinson the Rat is standing over her.
You're smiling this morning. That's not something I expected to see in a hurry.
Oh, hi, Wilkinson. I'm warm. Oh, I can't believe it. I thought it was never going to be warm again. Where are we?
The forest borders.
They are right on the edge of a forest, a line of trees going way back. All around is a carpet of grass, with mushrooms here and there amongst the roots. The light is green and golden as it filters through the leaves.
You hungry?
Oh, I wish you hadn't asked. Yes, I'm starving.
Well, Pranado's up trees looking for eggs, and Luz is bartering with the Nidrig for fire. If you pick the mushrooms, I'll scrump some apples. Here, take my hat. Only pick the white mushrooms with the pink gills.
Where will you put the apples?
I'll fold up a corner of my trench coat. Close call last night. There, but for the grace of Murphy, went we. Hacked into messy little chunks. I wasn't scared, of course, not me. Nerves and whiskers of steel I've got.
Sure you have.
I saw the first of them, this boot going past. Black as midnight's arsehole. I thought, you're just lucky, mate. If I wasn't looking after the young lady, you'd be for it.
Wilkinson?
Yes?
What's the hierogram?
It's, well, it's sort of more like an,
You don't know?
Well, Martin Tenbones did. I suppose we'll just have to burn that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah. I wish I knew what I was going to have to do.
Wish in one hand, shit in the other, see which fills up first. Old Wilkinson family saying. Let's have the hat. Ta. Which reminds me, there's a stream just down there. Do your necessaries and wash up afterwards. The others will be back soon. Then we'll have breakfast.
Having breakfasted handsomely, they walk on into the deeper forest. The trees here are older and more gnarled. They walk on tracks of moss and fallen leaves.
That was wonderful. Really, guys. That was an incredible breakfast. I don't think I've ever had a better meal. But how come I could taste it? I didn't think you could taste things in dreams.
This isn't a dream.
It is a dream, Luz.
Well, yes, it is a dream, but not in the way she means.
It's still a dream, Wilkinson. Like, before you came, before the cuckoo, the land was here.
Huh? But if it's my dream...
No, you come here to dream, but the land is older than you, Princess.
Pranado, How do you know?
Well, just look around you. Did you create all this?
I don't know, didn't I?
No, of course you didn't. You're just a princess.
Anyway, all I'm saying is I'm really happy. I can't remember ever being so happy before. Not when I was first dating Ken. Not even when I was a little bitty kid having picnics with my toys. I'm just happy.
I love being a kid. I was one of 17 children. We were all named Wilkinson. I suppose it was roughest on the girls, but we all got used to it in the end. I blame the parents, really.
I was an only child.
I would have liked to have been an only child. That way, when someone shouts Wilkinson, you know if it's you or not. Mustn't grumble. Our parents were the salt of the earth. Lovely people. It was just when they found a name they liked, they stuck with it.
My childhood was fine, I suppose. I mean, my mom and pop were nice people. Good people. It just wasn't very exciting.
Shh. Someone's watching us.
Yeah. They've been watching us since we entered the forest. But if it was the cuckoo's people, they'd have nobbled us by now.
So what should we do now?
We keep going. What else can we do?
It takes days to walk through the forest. Barbie finds herself imagining eyes upon them, peering from behind trees. There is darkness, the smell of leaves and twigs and small rustlings. The forest is not a comforting place for travelers, but they're warm, with just about enough to eat. Sometimes that's all that's important. After a while, Barbie simply accepts that they are being followed, just as she got used to a diet of apples and nuts, and drinking from small streams and brooks, and using moss for toilet paper. She feels like Bilbo in Mirkwood in that bit where the giant spiders get them.
Wilkinson, are there giant spiders around here?
Giant spiders around here? Of course not.
Sorry. Silly of me.
Now the giant spiders is all in the little forest to the west of here.
They are good people. They are loyal to you, not to the cuckoo. But they are few in number, and timid beasts.
Oh, that's nice.
As they get further into the forest, the trees become so thick they lose the sun completely. The light that does filter through the leaves is stained green and gold by day, cool moonlight blue by night.
Oh, here's a conundrum. Oh, bother.
It's a fork in the path, Prenado.
There's two ways we can go here, Wilkinson.
Don't want to get lost now. Prenado?
Yeah.
Wilkinson, you said you had an instinct for direction, but it's always Prenado who climbs a tree and scouts the way ahead.
Well, my instinct is to ask Prenado. He's the monkey. They like climbing trees.
I do like climbing trees.
See? Bang on the money.
Wait there. Oh, look.
But that was the day that Prenado didn't come back.
It's been hours.
But what do we do? Without Prenado, we are lost.
There are meant to be paths somewhere in the forest. Really old ones, from before there was even a forest here. I don't know how we'd find one, mind you.
We're heading towards the sea, aren't we?
Yes.
Then shouldn't we be looking for streams and rivers? They'll be flowing into the sea, after all.
So we follow a stream. That's really smart.
Do you think Prenado's all right?
No.
It's night in the forest. Barbie, Wilkinson and Luz are asleep by a small stream.
Prenado? Wilkinson? Luz, wake up. Prenado's back, I think.
Prenado?
Hello?
Over there. What's that?
Barbie sees something caught in a beam of moonlight between two trees. Prenado, the little monkey with his organ grinder's hat on. He dangles from what looks like a creeper. His arms hang loose in front of him. His head flops over to one side. His eyes are open but blank. He's dead.
Prenado, old buddy, is that you?
No, it's not.
Barbie realizes that the creeper Pranado hangs from has dark, twig-like fingers.
That's an arm. Who are you? Do you serve the cuckoo?
Oh, we are trainers.
We do not serve the cuckoo.
We were here before the cuckoo. We were here before you.
We serve no one but ourselves. The tweeners belong to the tweeners, and these are our woods.
Tweeners? Run! Just run! Go to outrun them!
Cannot escape. Cannot escape.
But where are we headed?
Keep going.
Look out for the tree roots!
Ow!
Hannah, where are you going?
Bobby is sitting up. Her pretty dress is ripped and torn and spread out around her. The porpentine is flaring up, becoming a source of light. Bright pink light.
The porpentine! Look at it. It's glowing. Why have they stopped coming?
The path! Here, I'll give you a hand.
Thanks.
The three of them are standing together on an old brick path running through the forest, much of it overgrown.
It's one of Murphy's paths. I thought they were all lost, but the porpentine remembers.
Okay.
As long as we follow the light of the porpentine, we'll be safe.
But the tweeners?
They cannot walk on this path.
Let's go.
In sadness and fear, they walk down the ruined path, guided by the light of the porpentine. There is no more sleep that night for any of them. As the sun rises, the light of the porpentine fades. But the path is still there, old and broken, but always visible. Just. Its stones are old, really old. Follow the yellow brick road keeps running through Barbie's head. But the stones are not bricks, and they are a dirty grey colour. Soon they can hear the cries of distant seagulls. There is salt in the air, and the low, muted crash of breakers. Barbie, Wilkinson and Luz emerge from the forest to find themselves high on a grassy ledge at the top of a cliff. Seagulls wheel above. Below them is the sea, and across a wide bay are the towers and minarets and cottages of a strange, old-fashioned city. From where they stand, rough paths snake down to the sea from the chalk-white cliff face.
So that's the city. And that's the sea. Well, what do we do now?
We've got to get you through the town and down to the Isle of Thorns.
I'll go down the cliff path and fetch help.
Luz, girl, it's too dangerous.
No, Wilkinson, you must stay here. Guard the princess. I will seek out the resistance. They can hide her for as long as is needed.
Barbie crouches. Stroke Luz's feathered head fondly.
Are you sure, Luz?
I am sure. Alone, I have a chance. Together, we have none. You stay here. I will be back by nightfall.
Good luck, Luz. Hurry back.
I will, Princess. Do not worry. I will be fine.
It's 3:30 a.m. in George's apartment in New York. On the sofa, Barbie dreams, watched over by her friend, Wanda, and by the nightmare, which is their late neighbor George's severed face, nailed to the wall. The face, through the agency of ancient witchcraft, speaks, its tongue writhing.
So you don't want to talk to me, eh, Wanda? I know lots of things. When you're dead, there's stuff they don't bother keeping secret anymore.
That so? Okay, George. Why did they leave me behind to look after Barbie?
That's pretty easy. That stuff they did with the moon, that had to be a women thing, right?
I am a woman, dumbass.
Maybe she doesn't think so.
The moon doesn't think so? Give me a break.
Maybe gender isn't something you pick and choose as far as gods are concerned.
Well, that's something the gods can take and stuff up their sacred recta. I know who I am.
I'll tell you something else. Messing with the moon like she did, I bet that's dangerous. I mean, really dangerous. Drawing down the moon? Thessaly wasn't doing something spiritual. That was physical, too.
Oh, come on.
I hate to think what she did to the tides and the weather. She shouldn't mess with the moon. That's dangerous. And you know you should be worried. I mean, really worried.
Yeah? You don't seem too worried.
What have I got to be worried about? I'm dead.
Why are you telling me this? Does making up facts make you feel better about being a total loser?
Oh, you know. It's nice to have someone to talk to. And us guys should stick together.
I'm Wanda, George. I know who I am. I'm more of a woman than you ever were a man. And I'm not denying that there's been some weird shit going on here tonight. But here's the thing. You don't get to give your opinion anymore. You don't know me or any of us. You never said word one when we passed on the stairs or met in the lobby. You hid in the shadows, afraid of anything outside your tiny little life, sitting on this sofa, staring at that creepy poster of Barbie with one hand down your pants. How come you can talk anyway? I thought Thessaly told you to stay quiet.
Thessaly's gone. Her commands only hold while she's here.
I guess that means I could leave if I wanted to.
Sure.
I don't need your permission, bub.
Are you going to go away?
I can't leave Barbie. She's my only friend. She treats me like a person. Like a friend. I've got to stay with her. Even if I don't understand this stuff. And the bits I do understand scare me shitless. So, assuming you do know stuff they don't bother keeping secret anymore, Thessaly and the guys, are they there with her? In her dream?
I don't think so. Not yet. They're still walking the moon's road. But you shouldn't worry about them. You should worry about Barbie. And the weather, Ms. Wanda.
Miss Wanda. That's better, George.
In the land, high up on the clifftop, Barbie and Wilkinson the rat have hidden in a clump of bushes.
I'm hungry, Wilkinson.
Don't you worry, Princess. When Luz comes back, she'll bring food. And friends. Just you keep smiling.
Pernado's dead. I don't know what I have to smile about.
Well, then everything's gone right. I mean, what happened to Pernado was horrible. But we still found the path and got out of the woods. The Black Guard missed us in the snow, didn't they? Ugh. That's more than luck. Someone's looking out for us. I dare say when we get to the Isle of Thorns, something will tell us how to use the Porpentine. There'll be some mad old hermit or instructions carved on a rock only visible on the day we get there. It's all working out.
Shh! Someone's coming!
Princess Barbara! Wilkinson! Are you there?
Of course we're here, you great Nana. Well, how did it go? Did you make contact with the Resistance? Did you bring back any friends?
Yes, lots of them.
The Black Guard?
That's her.
Run, Princess! Get away from here!
Luz?
If you want her, you'll have to take me first. For Murphy's sake, lass, get back into the forest! Run! Run, Princess!
Wilkinson's throat is sliced through by the blade of a Black Guard's pike.
Wilkinson
lies on his back, twisting convulsively, as animals do when they die. A Black Guard rams a spear into his stomach to finish him off.
Luz? Dear Luz! What the...
That's it. Manacle her arms. No need to bind her legs, not yet.
Ow!
But I
no!
want one of you on each side of her on the walk down. She is not going to throw herself off the cliff.
The Black Guard marched the manacled Barbie through the town, Luz beside her. They passed down cobbled streets with thatched houses on each side. Barbie's manacles are heavy and she is having trouble walking.
Luz?
Yes?
Where are you taking me?
To the Palace of the Cuckoo.
Are you the Cuckoo?
No. But I have the honor to serve her with all my heart and all my soul.
In the town, blank-eyed people stare at them hopelessly, as if Barbie was a cow on her way to the slaughterhouse.
Halt! We're here.
They've stopped in front of a dull, middle-class, 1960s American townhouse, looking utterly out of place in this ancient city. In front of the house stands a child's tricycle.
But this isn't a palace. I know this place. This is our old house in Florida. This is where I grew up. Is it?
Go in, Barbie. The cuckoo's waiting for you. Guard!
The guards take off the manacles.
Oh.
And Barbie goes in. Barbie's dream. Inside the citadel of the cuckoo. The land.
What? This can't be right.
Still wearing her tattered princess party dress, the chain with the gemstone that is the porpentine around her neck, Barbie enters the low building. She has been freed of her manacles by the Black Guard, who wait outside with the former ally who betrayed her, Luz the Dodo.
Makes no sense.
Barbie has been brought here to meet the shadowy character who is her nemesis in this dream place, the land. Here, Barbie is Princess Barbara, and now she must face the cuckoo, whatever that is.
Huh?
This exotic, medieval-looking town is where the cuckoo's citadel lies. But the citadel itself is nothing like the palace Barbie expected. She is standing in the hallway of a very ordinary, very familiar, single-story Florida house.
Wow.
She stops by a fish, a bass, stuffed and mounted on a plaque on the wall.
Third prize, 1967 bass fishing tournament. Papa was so proud of this little fish. It was the only thing he ever won a prize for. And this will be the living room.
The living room has a big picture window set in the far wall with a view of the sea. The room has a sofa, a couple of easy chairs, a big old 60s TV set, and a framed print of The Green Lady by Tretyakov on one wall. Barbie is wide-eyed and a little stunned.
This isn't any citadel of the cuckoo. This is where I grew up. This is our old house. It's just like I remember it, only smaller. And the brightly shining sea isn't just any brightly shining sea. That's the Atlantic Ocean, early in the morning. After the sun's burned the cloud away and before it's risen too high in the sky, at the moment when the sunlight turns the sea to silver. Dappled, glinting, magical silver. As if the light wasn't reflected. Rather, as if the sea shone with its own wonderful light, glittering and sparkling like liquid diamonds. When I was a little girl, I used to run down the sand and into the sea, and I tried to pick up the shining silver water. I'd cup my hands and catch it, but it always turned back into dirty gray-green seawater.
Huh? Well, that's what makes the brightly shining sea. It stays liquid diamonds when you pick it up.
The small girl is about 8 years old, with long blonde pigtails and freckles. She's got patent leather shoes on and a friendly sort of smile. She's missing a tooth.
And it doesn't taste salty either. It tastes kind of like grape juice.
You were reading my mind?
No, I just knew what you were thinking. It wasn't that hard.
I know you.
Of course you do, silly.
Who are you?
I'll give you a clue. The scar on your knee. You told the kids next door that you could fly, and they didn't believe you, and you...
I've been lying so hard, I convinced myself I was telling them the truth. I jumped off the roof. Needed 2 stitches. Yes, I remember.
Look, same knee.
The same cut. The same stitches.
Uh-huh.
You're me.
Not quite. I'm part of you. Sort of. You created me. Kind of. I'm the cuckoo.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 16. A Game of You, Over the Sea to Sky.
Cuckoo. But you made them kill Wilkinson. You were the one that did all those things. It's because of you Martin Tenbones is dead.
Because of us, Princess Barbara. Because of us. Like I said, I'm almost you.
What is this? Some kind of moment of revelation? Like in the books? Is this where I find out I was abused as a child and I've been blocking it all these years? Is that what you are?
You weren't abused as a child, Barbara. Your childhood was dull, quiet, and boring. You had 2 dull parents and a dull house and an overactive imagination. That worried your parents. You'd make up stories, seek out books of witches and ghosts. Things that just weren't true. They couldn't understand where this fascination of yours for the fantastic came from. And it scared them. So you began to defend yourself. Follow me. Boys and girls are different, you know that?
I know that. So?
Little boys have fantasies in which they're faster, or smarter, or able to fly. Where they hide their faces in secret identities, and listen to the people who despise them admiring their remarkable deeds. Pathetic, spectacled, rejected Perry Porter is secretly the amazing spider. Gawky, bespectacled, unloved Clint Clark is really Hyperman, yes?
What has this got to do with...
Shh! Now, little girls, on the other hand, have different fantasies. Much less convoluted. Their parents are not their parents. Their lives are not their lives. They are princesses. Lost princesses from distant lands. And one day the king and queen, their real parents, will take them back to their land, and then they'll be happy forever and ever. Little cuckoos.
Did I dream that? I don't remember.
Sure you did. You made up a magic land, and you populated it with your toys.
Toys?
Yeah, they're all in here, in the shrine. Come on in.
The cuckoo leads Barbie through a familiar door. It bears a wooden plaque held by 2 teddy bears saying, Barbara's room.
This is my bedroom.
That's right.
It's a cute bedroom, circa late 60s. The cuckoo runs in and climbs onto the small child's bed. Barbie looks around.
Was everything really so frilly?
There are 5 toys on the bed. The cuckoo points to each in turn.
This is Martin Tenbones. Here's Wilkinson. And here's Luz. Here's Pranado.
The stuffed dog could be a little Martin Tenbones. The funny rodent with a long pointy nose could be Wilkinson, but without the trench coat. The big stuffed dodo is Luz. And a little wind-up monkey in a red jacket and hat, holding a pair of cymbals, looks just like Pranado.
Here's you!
The cuckoo holds up a late 60s Barbie doll. It wears a little princess party dress and a tinsel crown.
Toys? My toys? I'd forgotten them.
No, you hadn't. Not deep down. And they never forgot you.
Is this real? Or is it just my imagination?
If you tell me what the difference is, I might be able to tell you.
I need a drink of water.
Let's get one. You remember where the kitchen is. Well, you left yourself wide open for me, really. I mean, really. It's a little like possession, only I didn't bother with your body.
The kitchen is mostly stainless steel and chrome. There's a photo up on the wall of a middle-aged couple, Barbie's mom and dad, with little Barbie holding her Barbie doll. The cuckoo sits on the countertop, swinging her legs.
I moved into your dream world, into those parts of your life you weren't using. You were everything I needed. I'm your imaginary fiend. So, Barbie, now that I've explained it to you, it all makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Sure.
Now, think carefully, because this is a big thing I'm asking you. Do you like me?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a right to live, haven't I? And to be happy?
Of course you have.
And I'm awful sweet, aren't I? I'm awful cute.
You're cute as a button.
You, sitting on the floor with your legs stuck out like a broken doll.
Ugh.
Barbie, you wouldn't mind it if I had to kill you. I mean, completely destroy you. I need to. And it would make me really happy.
Sure.
Oh, good. You may have a kiss.
Outside the middle-class Florida 1960s townhouse, dumped in the middle of a fairy tale medieval city, the Black Guard wait, tall, faceless warriors dressed in ornamented black obsidian armor, holding spears. In front of them, Luz the Dodo paces anxiously. The front door opens, and the cuckoo walks up the driveway.
Everything's fine. It was easy. Guard! I want Princess Barbara taken down to the Isle of Thorns. We start at moonrise.
New York City, 4 a.m. Down on one of the old wharves, waves are crashing in from an East River which has been whipped into a frenzy. The moon is setting peacefully now, but it has had a disturbed night.
This is Barbara Wong with you until dawn with music, bonin, new... This time of the morning, I do everything around here, including make the coffee. You out there? Hear from you if you are. Talking about coffee. I'm going to pour me a cup. While I wait for the lights on this phone to start flashing. Be back right after this message.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, Jerry?
You got any Q-tips on you?
Nope, Jerry.
But what's that? Isn't that a pack of Q-tips?
Nah, but I... It's Wonderbuds from the makers of Wonderwool.
Wow!
Wonderbuds are sterile, all-American, and for only 99 cents a pack. New Wonderbuds in fresh mint cinnamon and new salsa flavors.
I'll never use unflavored Q-tips again, Bill.
Not Q-tips, Jerry. Wonderbuds.
Barbara Wong... WRAT, New York, 3:47 a.m., and you're on the line, caller.
Yeah, Barbara, I'm down on the Lower East Side, and I'm calling to say that I don't know what the hay's going on down here, but we got waves like you wouldn't believe.
And what's your name, caller?
Jim Morrison, not the famous one.
Hey, wouldn't that be cool on my show if you were? So, what's your point, Jim?
I think maybe it's that hurricane they was talking about on the news. I think it's maybe heading back this way.
Well, Mr. Gibbon, not the famous dead one, Morrison. Don't you think that if there were even the... So we're heading back this way. The meteorologist, that's weather forecasters on our listeners from New Jersey, would have warned us. No chance. But thanks for calling. Right around until 6 a.m. on WRAT.
WRAT.
In the sky above, beyond the weather, beyond the atmosphere, beyond our reality, hangs a full moon. The night is full of stars. Imagine a lake suspended in this starscape with the moonlight reflected in it so that it forms a silvery road. Down that road walk three women. Thessaly is in the lead, still wearing a bathrobe over her Victorian nightgown with her fluffy bunny slippers. Foxglove is in her ratty old bathrobe, bare feet, with nothing underneath. Hazel wears her pajamas. Each of them is slightly transparent, visible through the other two. Identity blurs on the moon's road.
I am Hazel McNamara.
I am Thessaly.
I am Donna Kavanagh.
Each of them looks blank and yet quizzical. They are surrounded by darkness and stars, with the pale circle of the moon above and this rippling path of pure light beneath them.
I am Foxglove.
I am Johnny McNamara's big sister.
I am a witch woman of the lowlands.
I am Judy's ex-lover.
Each of them raises a hand to her face at the same moment, the same gesture. It's as if they have become one person with three bodies.
In the pale light of the moon, I play the game of you.
Whoever I am.
Whoever you are.
As they walk onward, they fade away from view, and the moon's road disappears into darkness.
All sense of where I am, of who I am, and where I'm going, has been swallowed by the dark.
And I walk through the stars and sky.
A trinity of dreams beneath the moon.
Ahead of where they were walking is the faintest outline of a cliff top, and the sea appearing as a kind of ghost image. After another step, it becomes real.
Where am I?
Where are we?
It's late afternoon in the land. A stunned-looking Hazel Foxglove and a less stunned-looking Thessaly are looking down from the same clifftop as Barbie, Luz and Wilkinson were. And first they saw the brightly shining sea. The sun is getting low in the sky.
We are...
Thessaly crouches, feeling the ground with her hand.
We are. We are in a dream. An old dream, I'd say. It's very solid.
We're in Barbie's dream?
I suppose. It's much older than Barbie, though. My guess is that it's somewhere she comes to dream. But I doubt she created it.
How do you know all this stuff, Thessaly?
I'm older than I look, Foxglove. You pick stuff up as you go along, you know?
Yeah? How old are you, Thessaly?
I'm really pretty old. Let's leave it there, huh?
So, well, now we're here. We better start looking for Barbie.
The cuckoo. We find the cuckoo.
But Barbie...
Barbie didn't try to hurt me, Hazel. The cuckoo did. I'm here to find the cuckoo.
Well, there's a path over there, past those bushes, leading down the cliff.
Isn't it steep?
Doesn't look too bad, Fox.
Let's take it. I'm sure we'll run into Barbie along the way. That's how these things usually seem to work out. But I'm looking for the cuckoo. It needs to be taught a lesson.
But Thessaly...
We don't need to know where we're going. This is a dream world, Foxglove. It has its own laws, its own logic. It needs to bring us together.
Uh-oh.
But there's something else.
Hazel, what's the matter?
What is it?
In the bushes.
that?
It's a body. Some sort of giant rat in a raincoat.
It's not been dead long. Good.
Good?
It can give us directions.
You aren't going to cut its face off, are you?
No, no need. But I'll need some pebbles.
Pebbles?
Mm-hmm. Roundish ones.
Okay, there are plenty of those.
Half a dozen will do. I just need to make a circle on the grass by the rat's head. There. Now we need a little blood. Don't worry, it'll be mine.
Thessaly takes a penknife from her bathrobe pocket, opens it, and slices into her forefinger. Blood trickles down from her fingertip, making a thin puddle.
Fox, the reflection.
No shit.
Hello?
Now the pebbles surround a little red pool. From within it, Wilkinson the rat's face looks up out at them.
I'm dead. Bugger off.
What was your name?
I don't need to tell you that. I don't need to tell you anything. I'm dead. Just leave me alone.
Your name?
Wilkinson.
Where is the cuckoo, Wilkinson?
She's down there. That's where her palace is in the city.
Excuse me, Mr. Wilkinson. Do you know where Barbie is?
Barbie? I failed her. I did everything I could.
Where is she?
The cuckoo took her. Tell her Wilkinson said sorry. Now leave me be.
Yes, you can go. Down the cliff path.
What a sweet little guy. Lots nicer than George.
What do you know about cuckoos?
They're birds.
That's all?
Yeah.
Some cuckoos lay their eggs in other birds' nests.
So?
They just do. That's all.
Hayes, you are pregnant, aren't you?
Well, I haven't done a test or anything. I mean, I didn't get around to it yet. Not that I'm worried about killing rabbits, because you don't have to do that anymore.
Hazel, shut the hell up.
Sorry.
Shithead. Hazel, if we ever get home again, I'm going to, I don't know, scream at you, throw things across the room. I'm going to call you names you never even knew I knew.
I'm sorry.
What kind of relationship did we have, for Christ's sakes? You're dumb. You know that. Dumb and selfish and deceitful and secretive and dumb.
Come on, you two.
Oh, shit. Do you know how much a baby's going to cost us? For a start, we have to buy one of those dumb books full of names.
Fox.
Hold my hand.
Fox, I do love you.
Damn straight you do, jerk.
Barbie's sleeping self lies on the sofa in their upstairs neighbor George's room. On her gently rising and falling breast lies the porpentine, its pink glow suffusing the tiny apartment.
Listen to that wind. I wouldn't want to be outside on a night like this. Barbie, Han, this is the kind of night that needs a roaring log fire, a leopard skin rug, a bottle of fine brandy, and, I don't know, Rutger Hauer, maybe? And the third Velvet Underground album playing in the background. Instead, I've got a severed face and sleeping beauty for company.
Wanda is talking to the face of George, nailed to the wall. Drying blood and matter runs down from it. The tongue begins to move.
Miss Wanda, I think Miss Barbara's having some difficulties.
Yeah, George? Like what?
I don't know, but the light of the stone was flickering.
So what does that mean?
I wish I knew.
Come on, Princess Barbie. Hang in there. Come on, Bubala. I've lost too many friends in the last few years. Not you. Come on, Princess. Jesus H. Christ, listen to that wind. I haven't heard anything like that since I was a little kid. What the hell was that?
I came from outside.
Damn, I can't see. There's a person down there. I think she's hurt.
Crazy to be outside in this weather.
It's an old lady. A big garbage can blew over onto her.
That homeless woman. She belongs in the trash.
Shut up, George. Hey, lady. Are you okay?
Help me.
I've got to do something. George, keep an eye on Barbie.
Very funny, I don't think.
Wanda, seriously?
Wanda gets to the apartment block's front hallway and realizes she's only wearing a t-shirt and panties. Some coats hang on the wall. She grabs the nearest.
Ugh, whatever. Shit! Oh well.
Darn garbage. Can't move.
Let me get this off you. Hey, are you okay?
Oh, I twisted my leg when I fell. Hurt.
Nuts. You better come with me. Let me help you up. Okay. Easy now.
I got garbage all over me. Sticking garbage. All over me.
Well, let's just get you out of the wind until we can get you to a doctor, okay? Now, careful, up these stairs. Lean into the wind, okay? Or else we'll both blow over. That's right, in we come. You got this. Good? Look, maybe I should leave you here. It'll be really tough on you going upstairs if your leg is hurt.
It's your call, lady. You're the good Samaritan.
This is a city of crazies, you know that? Oh, come on then. Jesus, you really do stink. I'd let you use George's shower, but there's a corpse in the bathtub with his face cut off. Oh, I don't believe I just said that.
That mean wind out there. It's only just begun. You know that. It's just gonna get worse.
The cuckoo drags the unconscious Barbie along the narrow strand of beach leading out into the brightly shining sea. Leafless thorn bushes grow at the water's edge.
She's heavy.
You could stop and rest a moment.
Yes. Well, Lutz, not much longer now.
No, my lady.
Does that make you happy?
Very happy, my lady.
Because you want to protect me. You want to help me. You want to make me happy.
Yes, lady.
It's time for me to fly the nest. Everyone has to grow up sometime. I'll miss this land. I really will. It's a nice place.
We'll miss you too, lady.
Will you? Lutz, that's sweet. Especially since you spent the last half dozen years plotting my downfall.
I was misguided, lady.
Of course you were. And it just took a little talk to show you the error of your ways. Right. Must keep going. Indeed, a bird will brood the foster chick whilst her own infants lie slowly dying outside the nest. She never understood. She kept trying to tell herself the truth, and she never listened. They divide themselves up into such complex puzzles, little bird. She was the perfect environment to grow in, but we cannot be children forever.
The sun has almost set now, and dusk is falling. At the end of the narrow causeway, pushing out into the sea, is a wide mound of compacted sand, like an island. Upon it, a huge polished onyx slab sticks up at an angle, a set of runes. The hierogram is carved into the stone. The cuckoo drags Barbie's inert form to the mound, laying it in front of the slab.
All good things must end. And here's where they stop. In the Isle of Thorns. hierogram at moonrise. Very, very soon.
And this stone with these shapes in it, this is the hierogram?
Did you ever meet the hieromancer, Luz?
No, lady.
Sweet old guy. I think Barbie may have based him on her grandfather when she populated the land. He understood the hierogram. It's older than Barbie. Much older. It's old as the land.
Oh.
There must be hundreds of these lands, little bird. Thousands of them. An archipelago of dream islands. A glittering shoal of worlds. Come on. Come on. Set, damn you.
The cuckoo stares at the sun, its upper edge just visible above the horizon. Luz watches it too. They do not see the three distant figures approaching from the beach.
Little Barbie found the land she needed. And the land found someone to believe in it. And then I had to come along and spoil everything. That's what the hieromancer claimed when I put him to the question. But it's not important what the land is, only how to leave it. I'm ready to leave the nest. You don't know what it's like to be physically confined to one tiny place when there are so many other places I could be. There are real worlds out there. Little ones like the one Barbie inhabits when she's awake, and huge, marvelous worlds beyond them. I'm constricted here, Luz. I need to fly. Ugh! But I'm stuck here until the end of this world. In a way, I'm pleased that the George and the Sendings failed so miserably. It'll be so much more satisfying to destroy the Porpentine myself. And this is the place to do it. The Hieromancer knew a little. And he told me everything he knew before he died. Well, now it's just you and me, little bird Luz.
Murphy be praised, lady. I only live to serve you.
Yes, you do. And not for much longer.
My lady, we have guests.
Thessaly! Thessaly, are you sure this is the right place? Thessaly!
I'm sure.
Help! Please help me! Oh, I'm so pleased you're here. It's terrible. The cuckoo's got Princess Barbie.
What?
Look! They're over there. It said it wanted to kill us. Please help me. Save the princess.
It's that weird green bird.
Out of my way, little girl. So you're the cuckoo, then?
Yes.
Come here.
Thessaly, why did you do that? Just kill her like that?
She needed to be taught a lesson.
But you just killed her.
Yes, that was the lesson. You don't get a second chance. Anyway, if she was the kind of thing I think she was, you don't want to talk to them or let them talk to you.
Really?
Just a few seconds is all they need.
You're very clever. You really are. You're a very clever lady. But that's all the killing you're gonna do, isn't it?
Yes.
You okay, Thessaly? I feel weird.
Me too, Hayes. Ugh.
The three women stand, arms hanging, blank-eyed and stupefied. The cuckoo drops the little girl pose. She folds her arms and stares up at Thessaly, looking puzzled.
What kind of thing are you? I've met the folk of the land and a few people like George who traveled here in their dreams, and people from Barbie's memories. You don't fit.
No.
No matter. You people are so wonderful, so joyous and strange. You have secret worlds inside you. Is it that way with all of you? I think you three should sit down now and not make any more noise.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That's better. You all stay there. Barbie, it's moonrise. It's time for you to wake up now. Come on.
Where am I?
This is the Isle of Thorns.
This is where I had to come with the porpentine, isn't it?
That's right. The hierogram and the porpentine were left as tokens, I think. Many, many years ago. While they exist, the land still lives. The destruction of either of them signals the death of the land. The destruction of both ensures it. And then I get to leave the nest. And then I get to fly.
You get to fly. Get to fly.
New York City. George's apartment. Wanda and the homeless woman have made it up to the top floor.
There. You should sit, if you can find anywhere.
Maisie Hill sits herself on the arm of the sofa next to the sleeping Barbie, still lost in dreams. She sees George's face, nailed to the wall.
This is bad stuff. Who do stuff? You do this stuff?
No.
That's good.
This is George. This is his apartment. He talks.
I don't talk to no dead people. It's bad luck.
And this is Barbie. She's sleeping.
Oh, yeah. I know her. She gave me 50 cents on the subway this morning, but I dropped it.
Jesus, you're the I don't like dogs lady.
Don't you go taking the Lord's name in vain. My name is Maisie Hill. Maisie, for my friends.
I'm Wanda.
So what are you? A guy or a girl?
I'm Wanda.
You know, my grandson Billy was like you. Well, he was a cute little thing. Sashay round, sweet as anything. He was saving up for surgery. His ma used to say he was the daughter she never had.
I wish my mom had said that. She said I was the spawn of the devil.
That's dumb. Just because someone's different, don't make them bad.
So, why don't you like dogs?
I just don't. That's all.
In Barbie's dream, the moon has now risen over the Isle of Thorns. Thessaly, Hazel, and Foxglove are seated obediently to one side of the little island, their eyes looking blankly out to sea. Near the polished slab, bearing the runes of the hierogram, a dazed-looking Barbie in her tattered princess party dress stands before the cuckoo.
It's time, Barbie.
Yes.
Be brave.
I'm not afraid.
Barbie reaches up slowly, taking the porpentine from around her neck. She raises it aloft and swings it on the end of its chain at the slab. The hierogram explodes in a mass of color and light. The energy burst sends a plume of bright plasma exploding into the darkness of the star-spattered night. In the fiery crystalline glare, Barbie, Thessaly, Hazel, and Foxglove stay locked in their fugue state while the cuckoo dances in delight. Barbie looks blankly at the empty chain hanging from her hand. Overhead, a couple of shooting stars streak past.
I'm the cleverest and the prettiest, and one day I'll be the biggest and the brightest, and I'll fly into little girls' minds and lay eggs of my own there. I won! I beat you all! Lolly, lolly, I can leave soon! The porpentine and the hierogram are broken! The land is over. Now it starts, and once the land's gone, lolly, lolly, I fly out of your dreams into your lives. I'll be big and beautiful and lay hundreds of eggs in hundreds of worlds. Look, Barbie. Look, you three. Isn't it wonderful? The stars are falling.
They look up. In the black sky above them, more shooting stars are streaking down and disappearing below the horizon. New York City, 4:45 a.m. The sleeping Barbie is still laid out on the grubby sofa. A thin trail of light drifts up like smoke from the porpentine, which rests upon her breast. Its pink glow becomes a bright light for an instant, and then the Dreamstone vanishes completely. Chain and all.
You see that?
Uh-oh.
Something not right.
In New York, the sky is black with cloud, and the rivers are whipping themselves into a fury.
That was New York's own Lou Reed with Satellite of Love.
Bringing us up to
5:15 in the morning. While it was playing, a weather flash came through here on WRET. Seems I owe an earlier call an apology. Hurricane Lisa, that is indeed heading back this way. The flash describes the hurricane's change of direction as inexplicable. It says here, in part to some perturbations in the upper atmosphere. Meteorologists also point to a possible high-altitude dust storm which hit the face of the moon earlier this morning. Stay home. Barbara Wong, WRET.
W-R-A-T.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, Jerry?
You got any Q-tips on you?
Nope, Jerry.
Viewed from the Isle of Thorns, the moon slips below the horizon as more and more stars fall, leaving the sky black and empty. One star, brighter than the others, appears not to be falling at all, but growing bigger, moving towards the cuckoo and Barbie. The star grows larger and larger until they must look away or be blinded. But then the light subsides, and when they look back, the star is framed in the eye socket of a chalk white face under a shock of black hair. Standing before them, in a dark robe with a hem of embroidered flames, is Morpheus, the Lord of Dreams.
Time has come, then. I am here, by the terms of the compact. Who summoned me? Who calls this skerry to its final judgment? Who seeks my boon?
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Morpheus crouches to speak to the cuckoo at eye level.
It's a strange question. Did you not call me, young lady? I was your land's creator.
Dream pauses, then stands and looks around him.
No, I see she did not summon me. You did.
His gaze has fallen on Barbie.
You are not entirely in control of your own mind. One moment.
Morpheus puts a finger under Barbie's chin, lifting her head so her eyes meet his. Suddenly she feels brighter, more alert.
Oh!
I trust that feels better.
Fox? Hazel? Thessaly? What are you doing here?
They cannot answer you. Let me.
He lifts his index finger, pointing it at the three women.
Hey.
There.
Excuse me. The people I met here kept talking about someone called Murphy. Is that you?
Indeed.
Morpheus. Murphy. Yes, I would have figured that out.
Barbie? Are you okay? We came to rescue you.
Hush now. I need silence from all of you while I do uncreate this land. It is an old land, and it is time for it to rest.
Morpheus walks away a little, down the narrow strand under the empty sky, his robe flapping in the wind.
I've heard the people of the land talk about Murphy before, but I never imagined he existed.
As you were made, so you are now unmade. As I was your lord from the beginning, so I have the right and the power to surrender your existence back into nothingness. No sky, no rock, no earth, no sea, no life. All is removed, reordered, replaced at my word. As you were made, so you are now unmade. As I was your lord from the beginning.
As Morpheus speaks, he seems to fill Barbie's field of vision. Nothing has changed, and yet it is as if he has become as big as the land itself. She feels that if he had been speaking to her, she would have understood. But he isn't speaking to her. Huge as he has become, he is talking to Luz.
Or dead Luz, my little Judas.
Rise, little dream creature. Rise and be whole. Enter my shadow and forget.
Barbie cannot find it in her heart to blame Luz. She too has been one of the servants of the cuckoo, feeling the overpowering need to protect and nurture her, to do anything that would make her happy.
Oh my.
Luz gets up. She stumbles. And then she walks into the huge space that is the darkness of Morpheus's robe. And she is gone.
Murphy's peace be with you, Luz. If he has peace to give.
As you were made, so you are now unmade.
Wow! What is this?
A procession of dream creatures marches from the land towards them, like characters from a child's storybook. Hundreds of them walking and marching, some of them dancing, all down the causeway toward the Isle of Thorns. There are giants and centaurs and witches and fauns, bears and trolls, even a handful of giant spiders. Barbie sees Wilkinson and Pranado walking together. They wave when they see her.
Don't worry about us, Princess.
It's a long way to Tipperary and a
They walk past her, the living and the dead, and one by one they vanish into the towering folds of Dream's cloak. More and more join the procession, different, wonderful characters, soldiers and courtiers, youngest sons and cats in boots. These weren't the inhabitants of Barbie's land. These are someone else's people, some earlier princess's escape from reality. Has Morpheus become huge? Or do they become tiny as they reach him? Do such concepts even apply? The last one is the saddest. She is magnificent. The woman has extremely long black hair. She's wearing a simple white dress. She has a scar across her cheek. Morpheus watches her approach with his arms folded across his chest. She looks very proud. And very sad. And when she gets to Morpheus, she hesitates.
I am here, Eleonora, by the terms of the compact.
I see. And what now?
Now, it ends.
How long has it been?
A long time, old love. Your land has been home to many since your day.
So be it.
She curtsies to him. He bows to her. And she is gone. All sense of scale now seems lost as Morpheus reaches out an upturned palm in a sweeping gesture. He reaches out his hand and picks up the land.
What?
Barbie cannot comprehend the change in scale. The landscape that was all around them is now a little jeweled world in his hand. It doesn't matter that it is tiny. She can see everything. And then it crumbles to dust. A glittering, multicolored sand that blows away from his palm in the chilly wind at the end of the world. The Isle of Thorns is all that's left of the land which once surrounded them. There's no sea, no sky. It's just the island, floating in the middle.